time to go around. And I just want you to realize that everyone started somewhere. And for the newcomers, it is a little daunting joining a group like this, but there is going to be such life that comes. When God knits you into a community, I really encourage you, if this is the community for you, just make friends, just meet people, invite someone to your home. And before you know it, they'll be inviting you back. It's a beautiful thing. We all need it. There is older women, younger women, married women. It doesn't matter. God has a place for you here. So I want to encourage you to just get knitted in. If I can just give a couple of house rules, if I can remember them. Ball pond is out of bounds while we're talking. If your little one is a little bit noisy, there are headphones. You can take them and be outside if you want. And otherwise, we don't have a roster system for eats. It's just bring if you are encouraged to bring. Otherwise, the day your name is down to bring food, it's chaos. And I never want any pressure on any mom. You have enough to handle. So if you feel stirred to bring, sometimes we have a lot, sometimes we have nothing. And you know what? Doesn't do us any harm. I really want to welcome each of you here. We're going to start a series this year. We're going to work through the book of Proverbs. So today I want to just give you a bit of an overview of Proverbs. And we're going to actually start next week with the final chapter, Proverbs 31, because I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's a little bit of a difficult thing to attain to. And sometimes when I was a young mom, I actually wouldn't even read it. I just thought that I was failing in every way. But the book of Proverbs is given to us because it is part of the inspired word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired those words to be added into the scriptures for our reference, for our joy, for our pleasure to read, for our guidance. And if it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, might have been written by a man, but God himself inspired it, I think it's worthy to be looked at. If you are going through a period of suffering, people suggest to you that you read the book of Job. You might not find the answers to why you are suffering, but you will find the answer of who God is, that he'll never leave you and he'll journey through the suffering with you. If you've got lots of questions and you're wondering how you need to praise or how you need to go through just some difficult situations in your life, then I encourage you to read the book of Psalms, because a lot of the Psalms are written by David. And if you've ever read up on David's life and studied him, he was full of nonsense. He was this amazing leader, actually the best king, the best king that Israel ever had. They have never lived in such a spacious place as they did under David's leadership. But he was a real man. He had problems. He looked over the wall and saw a beautiful woman and fell for her and had children with her. The only thing is, she was someone else's wife, Bathsheba, and Solomon was born out of that union. And so if David can be restored and write some of the most powerful verses in the scriptures, then God can use you. That actually sometimes you have some mishaps, and God can still use you. If you bend your knee to him, you ask for forgiveness, God can still use you. And he can use words out of your mouth to encourage others. And if you're a mom, you know you mess up sometimes. But God can still use you to bring life into your family. And so I want to encourage you. So Psalms is helpful for that. If you are depressed, you're probably going to land up reading Ecclesiastes. It can be a bit depressive, but it can also be incredibly enlightening when you realize what's really important. And if you've never read Ecclesiastes, we actually here at 3CR, we preached through it last year. It was an incredible series, such an incredible series that we realized we needed to ask ourselves some of these big questions. And Rory and I have been in church leadership for 30 years. On his birthday in July last year, we had been leading for 30 years, exactly 30 years. And we realized that maybe some of the things we were doing, we were just caught up in a rut. And what did we really believe? And what about our marriage? Our kids are all about to finish being in the house. 27 years of having a child under our roof. And so we actually wanted to ask some big questions. So we actually took 3 months off. People thought we were going to have a nice holiday. We did have a good time away, but it was a working holiday. And it was just to withdraw from the busyness of the church so we could actually just hear God for ourselves. And it's important to ask those big questions. What is important in life? And so Ecclesiastes shows us that. And God is through all of that journey, even the big questions. Song of Songs, any questions about sex, go and read that book. The answer you'll get at the end is that God works one woman, one man, a committed relationship where you lay down your lives for each other and you journey together, and something beautiful comes out of it. The creativity of God doesn't stop. You have total freedom within your relationship with your special person. If you're a single mom, don't come under hardship for that. God has a place for you, and this group will help you on that journey. But Song of Songs is a beautiful one. You can even learn to let the lover of your soul, God Himself, love you tenderly and back into unity with Him. So then Proverbs comes along, and Proverbs is the most amazing book for mums. It is for parents, it is for young people, it is for business people. But let me tell you, for moms, Proverbs is incredible. I have referred to it again and again, especially I've had 4 kids and all of them are totally different. I thought if I had one, then I had a second one, I would have read the manual already and it would be easier. Definitely by the third one, I would sort of really start getting to know the manual and I'd cruise. By the fourth one, I would actually just, it would be plain sailing. Well, it just got harder and harder each time. Actually, the fourth child was the easiest. He was just a blessing that just raised himself. I don't know. God just did a wonderful thing with him. But Proverbs is there for us. Now, I just want to explain to you, Proverbs is not the law. Proverbs is not where you have to read it and do exactly what it says. Otherwise, you are disqualified. No. Proverbs is not even prophetic. It is actually just wise words that have been written down to help us. So if you read Proverbs and you think, oh my goodness, I better listen to this. No, it's just a wise choice to actually follow God's way. And so I just want to remind you that don't be under pressure with the words that are in Proverbs, but use them, ask them. And I think it's a very good idea if you just read one Proverbs a day and you try and apply that to your life, because there are so many. They say that Solomon was the one who wrote most of those Proverbs, and I think they say there's about 300. But he apparently, there are manuscripts with like 3,000 of his Proverbs. And the 300 or so that we are exposed to, I wish we could get exposed to the others. So one of the commentators when I was studying, he said he really hoped that there's a book of all those extra Proverbs up in heaven where he has access to it and read that. But you know what? We won't need the Proverbs when we're in heaven. Everything will be perfect. But godly wisdom is available to us. And I think we are crazy not to actually take it and read it. So we're going to study this godly wisdom this year. The book of Proverbs is amazing. It's wisdom and discernment. Well, actually, Solomon, when God asked him, what do you want, Solomon? You can have anything. And he asked for wisdom. And God was so delighted with that. He said, I'll give you wisdom and discernment. And he got favor, and he got an ability to create wealth and apparently attract women. He had a lot of wives. But there was this incredible blessing upon Solomon in terms of his wisdom, but discernment as well. And I want to encourage you as a mom, not just to search after wisdom. Don't just ask God for wisdom in raising your children, but ask for discernment. I think we need discernment more than ever before. To handle living and raising your children in this world of technology, discernment is so valuable. You can have wisdom of actually making a little rule in your home of everyone puts their phones in a basket, and when you go to bed at night, all the phones are there. They're not taking them to the bedrooms. Maybe even you guys not taking your phones to your bedrooms. You'll sleep a whole lot better. But there's wisdom in that. But the discernment comes when your child is on their phone in an allocated time they're allowed to be on the phone or on the computer studying. And discernment is when you know there's something else going on. And for me as a mom, you might not think it's a big problem now with toddlers, but as your children grow up and the preteens and the teens, you need discernment more and more. Even if your child has made a good friend and having a good friendship time, play dates, etc., discernment is when that friend is not good for your child. Bad company corrupts good character. You might be installing amazing things in your kids' lives, but discernment will help you when you realize that friendship is unhelpful. Be careful how you teach your kids through that process. You can't just cut off the friendship immediately. You have to journey your kids through it. Well, maybe if your kid's life is in danger, cut it off immediately. But the reality is you have to be careful how you train your child through that. Discernment is a beautiful thing. It pleases God to bless us with that. I find it absolutely amazing. Every time I read Proverbs, I'm amazed at the wisdom that's available for us. And sometimes I think, gee, I've never read this before. Meanwhile, I've read the book of Proverbs many, many times. But somehow God can just open your eyes to something that you need at that specific time. Just remember, Proverbs are not rules, so it encourages us in the book of Proverbs to raise up your child in the ways of the Lord, and they will not depart from it when they are older. The reality is your child still has to make their own decisions, and you might do a very good job of raising your child up in the ways of the Lord, but when they become old enough, they can choose to walk away from it. And you have got to get to a place in your walk with God where he is enough for you and you don't disqualify yourself. It's one of the hardest things to journey with parents when their children have decided they don't want to walk with God. But your prayers never stop. Your prayers and you asking God for wisdom and discernment on when to speak and when not to speak, I believe those children will come back to the ways of God. Proverbs is divided into three sections. The first nine chapters speak a lot about the difference between wisdom and folly. And you can start teaching your children from a very young age about choices of choosing the right way, the better way, or the way that's not going to help them. And so when they're older, you teach them about wisdom and folly. But in the young ages, you can choose, teach them to make a right choice and a wrong choice. My mum, who grew up in a very traditional church, and when Rory and I got saved when we were dating to a very radical church. And so when we got married and had kids, we started speaking to our kids about making the right choice and the wrong choice. And my mum found it so funny. She's like, right choice, wrong choice. She said it was so much better. The language was better than she would be taught about God's way and the only way. And then they wanted to rebel. And she said, when you start using words that are accessible for any child, whether they're in the church or not, making a right choice and a wrong choice, and then you raise them up in the ways of choosing wisdom over folly, it's just a very helpful thing. So those first nine chapters are a lot about wisdom and folly. Then from chapter 10 to 29, there are lists and lists of proverbs. And it's very overwhelming. I find it very difficult. It's easier for me to go and ask God to highlight, okay, I'm going to do a study on being a good wife. Then you read up those words, or you're doing a financial study, and then you read up. But we are going to try and teach you, there's a team of us this year where we will choose topics and we'll work through the chapters like that. So that's the middle of Proverbs 10 to 29. It's just all of these lists. But remember, the Holy Spirit has actually chosen those ones to be put in front of you. So they're worth reading and studying. Then right at the end, there are two chapters. And the absolute climax of these Proverbs and these wise words is chapter 31. Now, they talk about King Lemuel, but apparently those who've studied it, there were no kings by that name. So some people actually suggest that it was a nickname for Solomon. I quite like that thought. So I don't know if it's real, but it just helps me understand the man better, the words that he's written. And then he says it was advice given to him by his mother. And for me, just that little sentence, because when you have that little child, you are given that child to raise. You know that every word you speak over that child, you want them to abide by it. You want them to hold on to it and to take it on into their life, especially when they get older. And there are fewer and fewer times that you can actually speak over your kids. The older they get, the less chance you have to speak words into their life where they'll listen. Teenagers, they think you're an idiot. You're stupid. But when they get a little bit older, or they get married themselves, and they suddenly realize, gee, mom's learned so much in just a year, you know, or two. But actually their eyes are opened again that you have got a little bit of wisdom and lots of discernment. But it is a wonderful thing when Solomon actually says these were words spoken to him by his mother in choosing the correct wife. And the amazing thing, if you think about Solomon, is he had all these women of choice, thousands of women to choose from. But when he comes back to the end of his life, he actually thinks about, what did my mother say? So I think it's very encouraging for us as moms. What did mom say? Speak your words wisely to your children. The beginning of Proverbs, it speaks a lot about wisdom from a dad and a mom. And it speaks about a dad's commands and a mother's teachings or instruction. And so sometimes when they say, Mom, you're so boring, you say the same thing again and again. Well, that's actually the call on our lives. Dads say, stop that, done. Moms are like, Johnny, no. Johnny, remember I told you that's not helpful. Johnny, and so you continue teaching and instructing. It's the way God's designed us. Even us, they apparently say that we need to hear the message at least 7 times before it's gone into our brains. Less times if we write things down. Less times if we read it ourselves and think about it. So I want to encourage you, when you hear God's word preached, especially in a Sunday meeting, I am so excited when I see someone journaling it down, because we hear it and we think, I'm telling you, by Tuesday you've forgotten. Life's busy, you've forgotten what's been preached. But you must remember that is a spoken word under the anointing of God. There's power in that word. The guys don't just suddenly think, okay, what I'm going to talk on, put a little ChatGPT talk together. There is prayer, there is feeling, there is emotion, there's waiting on God, there's reading the scriptures, there's studying. There are hours and hours that they take to prepare. And under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those are the words that come out. We need to hear them and take them seriously. And even if you go home and another time re-listen to the preach and just ask God, what are you saying in this message? There might be one thing. But that will become food to you and it'll nourish your soul. The words that are preached are very, very important. So, as I said, there are a lot of different areas that we're going to cover, right from sexuality through to finances, through to words that are used, that we use coming out of our mouth, attitudes, relationships, parenting, marriage, all of those things we are going to try and cover this year through the book of Proverbs. So if you can try and come on a regular, pop in as much as you can, I think you're really going to benefit from this series. There are quite a few different people. We want some of the younger moms to come through preaching. And I've been so excited how some of the younger moms have just responded to wanting to study God's word and know that this is going to help them with their parenting, and they're going to be imparting that to you. So let's journey together. These are not perspectives. This is good advice that's going to be given to us, wisdom from our beautiful Lord. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And what you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. That's from Proverbs 4, verse 5 to 7 and 8. And I just really want to encourage you, let's go hard after wisdom. And you know what? The newest person here and the oldest person here, the youngest, the oldest, however long you've been part of this, you have that downloaded wisdom to you, given to you by God. If you've been asked to be a mother by the Lord Himself, He is going to anoint you to be a mother. I asked God, and I'm going to end off with this. I asked Him for an illustration for this year. A couple of years ago, we did the theme of the garden, and it was so easy to come up with illustrations. And most of us can just remember those talks because we had a practical illustration. And I said to the Lord, please give me an illustration for this year. And I thought in my own thoughts, not God, my own thoughts, but I have to believe He put it there. I thought, oh, a bee is, it's like a mother, always busy. Busy as a bee. We are always doing something. We can't, I don't know about you, but Rory always says, just sit down and relax. I'm like, okay, I just want to go and hang the washing up. I just want to take the washing off. Oh, there's this to clean. Oh, that drawer is just like you can't find anything in it. And I know the bill is in that drawer. And it's like you're just hopping up all the time. It's like a bee. Just don't stop. Just buzzing everywhere. And you need to be everywhere at once. There's sometimes, you know, the kids are in the bath there, and this is, and something's boiling over the stuff. The three places is one. And that's like a bee. It's buzzing around. And so I started Googling up about bees. So this is the wisdom that came to me off the internet, girls, I'll be honest. And I found this amazing story by David Attenborough. I don't know about you, but I follow his nature things. I love it. And so often God has helped me with those illustrations to help my kids. Because I don't know, David Attenborough, he's just one of those solid voices. I love his voice. But it's just a solid, he has gone hard after that, the beautiful creation. And he had this story about the bumblebee. The queen bumblebee in this one area, which is covered with snow for a lot of the year. And then the snow melts, and there's this very short season where the flowers burst into bloom. There's so many different flowers, and then this bumblebee, and then you suddenly see a whole lot of bumblebees around. But the story of this queen bumblebee is she gets the anointing. She is going to be the future mother. She dives down, digs, burrows down about 10 centimeters into the ground, and the snows come, the snow falls, and the whole bee colony dies except her. She's dug down 10 centimeters. For a little bee, that's far. She's dug down, and then at the perfect time, when the snow starts melting, she digs her way out. And then she's been given by God, her own little antifreeze. Her body does not freeze. They have proven she has an antifreeze in her. So she doesn't freeze, but only the queen. Then she gets busy. She's alone, hey? Single moms, this is for you. She's alone. She goes along She finds a flower that is open. She gets nectar. She gets just enough energy. With that nectar, comes back, builds a little cup. Then she goes off, finds some more flowers, brings back nectar, fills her cup. Isn't the sounding of a spiritual now? Filling our cup with God's grace. I'm loving it. Goes off, lots of flowers, getting her strength built up. Her wings are strong again. She's flying around, gathering nectar. She has enough energy. She comes back. She gets, makes a cocoon, a waxy cocoon. In that waxy cocoon, she lays her eggs of the future generation of bumblebees. One lady doing, going about her work. That cocoon protects the little babies from underneath. She sits upon it, doesn't leave them, whole time, vibrating her body to create warmth, sipping on her cup of nectar, not having to leave, because she is prepared well, until those little bees come alive and fly off to reproduce and do, go about their business of pollinating the flowers in the area. Isn't that a beautiful story? I believe that's us. Whether you're single, or you're married, or you're on your own, or you're actually married but basically raising your kids on your own, the grace of God is sufficient for you to fill your cup with nectar, that you're able to nurse those God has given to you, not leaving them, keeping them warm, clothing them in the way. We're going to study that Proverbs 31 woman. We will get all of those traits that God's made available for us. But I want to encourage you, God's word and his grace is enough for you to fill your cup of nectar, sweetness, create warmth for your family, safety, security, cocoon. At the right time, you know, when you have to burrow yourself down to protect for the next generation. May God bless you. May he take you through this year. May you be encouraged by the words we're going to study and read in Proverbs. And next week, as we start with the last chapter, we're going to start with Proverbs 31. We're going to study her, and then we are going to start from Proverbs 1 again. God bless. Anyone want to share? Debs? If you are not having to rush off, join us, meet someone new, invite someone new to your home, and let's see where God takes us.
I just wanted to say, Mel, it's so incredible to have you back here with us after a short break. It's like, feels like the mom is back and we're like under your wings. So it's, thank you so much for the time of prep you put into everything. And we're looking forward to what the team has for us in Proverbs for the year ahead. So I just want to close in prayer for us. Something that stood out for me was Mel said, choose your words over your children, what you say. And that hits deep for me. So Father, I just want to say thank you for Mel. Thank you for the prep time that she put into serving us as moms and as the community. I pray that you will sustain her. And I thank you that we get to be the beneficiary of what you speak to her about. And Father, I pray for this year ahead that we will have hearts that are ready to learn, put on that student cap, and just come here with open hearts, good soil, and that whatever seeds you put plant here in this special place that will take deep root, and that our lives and our children's lives will change for the better because of it. Father, we pray that the word of Proverbs will be bring wisdom and discernment to our hearts, our minds, as we parent our children, as we are wives and serve this community. Father, I pray that your word will guide us and that your Holy Spirit will give us discernment. Thank you for the gift of this day that we could be together, get to know each other a little bit more. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.